Lecture topic, marriage.
Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa amma ba'd. Faqad qala Allah ta'ala fi al-Qur'an al-Majid wa al-Furqan al-Hamid. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم لأهله أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء الكرام, elders and beloved brothers in Islam. The occasion of nikah, it is appropriate that we consider the first nikah that ever took place in humanity. That was the nikah between Abu al-Bashar, Adam alayhi salam, and Hawa alayhi salam, the mother of humanity. And this nikah took place in Jannat. Generally, various reports we find in the tafasir with regards to this nikah. The crux of it is that Adam alayhi salam had at his disposal all the various thimar, qusur, anhar, etc., in the palaces, the rivers, the fruits, the various pleasures of Jannat he had at his disposal. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it part of human nature that a human being requires company. He requires someone he can seek solace in. So he was feeling lonely. And to address this need of humanity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hawa. One interesting point we find that if we look in the tafasir, if we look in the books of hadith, when it comes to the creation of insan, of the human being, and particularly the male of the species, there's great detail about the creation of Adam alayhi salam. Whereas, if we look with regards to the creation of Hawa, of the woman, there's very little detail. And ulama explain that there's a great wisdom and hikmat behind this. They say, woman is a source of concealment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the dignity and the honor of a woman in her chastity and in her haya and in her shame. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made so much of riayat of this that even with regards to the takhliq of a woman, the creation of the first woman of humanity, that also Allah put a parda over it. Whilst Adam alayhi salam was sleeping, ND 59497. It's a blue Toyota that's blocking the driveway. Brothers, we are repeating our announcement that please, if you are parked in such a way that you're obstructing anybody, most of those who are parked like that would have come for the nikahs. The nikahs are not taking place immediately. We've got 10 or 15 minutes grace now. So please ensure that we move our vehicles. If you're not sure also, we should check so that we don't have any confusion, people losing their tempers, etc. Whilst Adam alayhi salam was sleeping, in his sleep from his rib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hawa alayhi salam. So the point we were making is that Allah Ta'ala put parda over the creation also of a woman. For us to realize the importance and the emphasis which our Mubarak Deen has placed with regards to parda, with regards to the haya and the chastity of a woman. I am digressing, but one incident comes to mind. In the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not long ago Hajj took place. And the Hujjaj have returned also. And generally we find, to a very large extent, when it comes to the amal of deen or the practices of deen, we tend to go through the motions. But the asbaq and the lessons that we should be taking the ruh and the hakikat of these amal, very few of us actually bring in our lives. That is why we find many people make hajj and they come back but their lives haven't changed. Likewise, the month of Ramadan comes and goes, Mubarak occasions come and go, but that change that is supposed to be coming in us, we find that it is not coming. There is one incident which took place in the hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is mentioned in most of the books of hadith. When Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was proceeding on the day of Arafat, he was mounted on his camel, and seated behind him was his cousin Fazl bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. Fazl was the son of Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Fazl bin Abbas was from the Ahle Bayt, the direct descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Mounted on his camel, now try and appreciate the veracity of this incident. It is the day of Arafat. It is Hajjatul Wada, the farewell pilgrimage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That entire majma and gathering on the plains of Arafat, the focus of their attention is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every one of them had come, one, to have the barakat and the blessing of making hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Secondly, to observe the hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because after Nubuwat, this was the first hajj that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is making. And this hajj has to be taught to humanity till Qiyamah. So everyone's attention is focused on him. And in such a gathering, a young, beautiful woman comes towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a young girl. She was from the Qasam tribe. She had a question. The crux of her question, that O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, my father is elderly and he is unable to perform hajj. Can I perform hajj on his behalf? Now the masail of hajj are many, and we'll find them in many of the books of hadith. But this particular incident, ulama explain, is found in most of the books of hadith, not because of her question, but because of what occurred when this woman came and put this question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fazl, also a youngster, and a young woman in front. Fazl's gaze goes towards this young woman. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam turns around, places his Mubarak hand on the chin of Fazl bin Abbas, and forcibly turns his chin in a different direction. Then he addresses whatever the question of that woman was, of that young girl. After that, once this incident had transpired, Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being uncle, uncle is like a father. So he had certain, could take certain leniencies that others couldn't take. And he poses not an objection, but the inquiry to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that lawaita unuqa ibn ammik. That ya Rasulullah, in front of everybody, all were looking. It's Arafat, the hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Everyone's eyes is trained on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In front of everyone, you turn the face of your cousin away. In other words, the suggestion was there that you brought disgrace upon him in front of everyone. What was the need to do that? Look at the reply which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him. And in that reply is great sabak and lesson for the ummah till qiyamah. The crux of his reply, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, she was young, he was young. It was a male and a female. I feared that if I allowed his gaze to go towards her, then shaitan would come between them. Now ask ourselves, who is Fazl? Fazl is from the Ahle Bayt. That young woman is a Sahabi. And what is the martaba and status of Sahaba? The lowest Sahabi, all the Ghos, all the Qutub, all the Abdal. If the whole world were filled with Rabia Basris, collectively they would not in darja and status equal to the dust on the shoe of that young girl who was a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam touching the chest of Fazl, where was the room for shaitan to come? How is it possible in Arafat, his chest touching the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his company, sitting, touching his Mubarak body, that shaitan is going to come? And yet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that I feared that shaitan would come between them, that is why I turned his face away. In that is sabak for the ummah till qiyamah, that when the door of intermingling of men and women will open in this ummah, when the etiquettes, the rules, the obligation of parda, of concealment, of separation between men and women, when the ummah will turn its back on this, then fitna and fasad will spread in the ummah. That great sabak, that great lesson, that great warning is given through this incident to the entire ummah till qiyamah. And yet we find, my respected brothers, nowadays if we look at the nikahs that take place, if we go to the halls, see the intermingling that is taking place in our own homes, we find so many people, we hear the comment being passed, if I don't introduce my wife to my friend, then I've insulted my friend. And then if you tell him that, bhai, Islam doesn't allow this type of intermingling. A woman's dignity and honor is in her haya and her chastity. And what is the response? He says, my heart is clean. My friend's heart also is clean. We don't have any evil intentions. Can your heart be cleaner than the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Can your heart be cleaner than the heart of a Sahabi? We find in this ummah, the more we will move away from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more zulmat, the more darkness will come in this ummah. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed Abu Sufyan and he told him, Ya Aba Sufyan. And the address, he may have used the name of Abu Sufyan because Abu Sufyan was in front of him. But not only was he addressing Abu Sufyan, every male, every female of humanity till Qiyamah was being addressed. This address, Ya Aba Sufyan, means, O people of South Africa, O people of America, O people of Europe, O people of Asia, O whoever you may be, whether you are a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or a pauper or a king or a ruler, whatever facet or aspect of society you occupy, whatever position you may hold, no matter how many degrees you may have to your name or how intelligent you consider yourself, every human being till Qiyamah is addressed, Ya Aba Sufyan, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is addressing the entire humanity. Ji'tukum bi khayri dunya wa karamati al-akhirah. I have come with that Mubarak way of life. Adopt my mold. Make my day your day. Make my night your night. Color yourself in the color of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have brought that way of life which not only will give you success in akhirat, it will give you the dignity, honor, protection of this dunya also. Ji'tukum bi khayri dunya wa karamatil akhirah. Unfortunately, my respected brothers, we have confined deen and sunnah to the masjid. Make namaz like the namaz of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make tilawat of Quran like his tilawat. Make zikrullah like his zikrullah. Make ibadat like his ibadat. But that is a very restricted and a confined sense and understanding of what is deen. Just last month, personal experience I had, one dindar person was in front of me. He was conducting a business transaction. Few other Muslims were there also. And I said to him that, Bhai, in this particular thing, why don't you see what is the Shariat? There was a dispute. So I said, see what is the Shariat and follow the Shariat, there's khair in it. What was his response? I'm sitting on the minbar of the masjid. This was his exact words. This is not even 1 month ago it took place. He said that, Bhai, this is business. Leave the Shariat one side. Another person was standing next to him. Afterwards he told me, he says, I have heard the Moli Sahabs saying that something like this takes place in their bayans. Wallah, this is the first time in my life I saw it happening in front of me. What he said is in the hearts of many of us. We have compartmentalized our lives. One is the deen of the masjid, the other is the rest of deen. That is why in our nikahs, in our interaction with our wives and our children, in our interaction with our parents, in our financial dealings, there that five-time namazi, that muttaqi, that pious person of the masjid, becomes somebody else who is unrecognizable. Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a personality of such wisdom and intellect. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if there had to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar. Look at what he says. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, la taghurrannakum tantanatul rajuli bil layli fi salatihi. إِنَّمَا الرَّجُلُ الرَّجُلُ مَنْ سَلِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ مِنْ لِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ وَمَنْ أَدَّ الْأَمَانَةَ إِذَا أُؤْتُمِنَ. He said, O people, do not be deceived when you see a person wailing and crying in his tahajjud salah. Not ordinary salah, tahajjud salah. Not crying, not weeping, wailing and crying. When you see him in tahajjud salah doing that, do not be deceived that he is a pious person. Innama rajulur rajul, he said, a man amongst men, a truly pious person, man salimal muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi, is that person from whose tongue and hands Muslims are safe. When he opens his mouth, roses come out, thorns don't come out. When he raises his hand, it is a gesture of kindness. He is not a source of oppression and hurt and harm to others. Leave society in our homes. In our own homes, there are so many of us that have become a threat to our own families. How many wives are there whose hearts are not broken by the utterances of their husbands? How many children of the ummah are there to whom that father has become a source of inspiration and guidance and one who is brought, who takes him closer to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our deen, unfortunately, is left for some other compartment. In our homes, in our businesses, we have become someone else. And yet, if we look in at the reality of Shariat, my respected brothers, akhlaq and character is that recipe, is that formula which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his ummah, by which, most of us are businessmen here, so I'm going to use a crude expression. Every one of us, when it comes to business, we're always looking for the shortcut. What's the shortcut? Least expense, least effort, maximum profit. In the minimum amount of time, we regard that businessman to be an astute businessman, who in the minimum amount of time and effort can get the maximum profit. We are always looking for the shortcut. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a shortcut to the highest rank in Jannah. If you want to know the easy way to get the highest rank in Jannah, then that shortcut, my respected brothers, which was given to us by Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that we have to develop our akhlaq and our character. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the crux of the hadith, he said, As-sa'im bin nahar, wal-qa'im bin layl. If a person, his entire life fasts every day, and every night he makes tahajjud salah for his entire life, and I am interpreting it further. According to what commentary ulama have written on these type of ahadith, if he is given the life of Nuh alayhi salam and he fasts every day, and he makes tahajjud salah for the entire night, every night, wallah, Allah's qasam, in Jannah he will not get the rank and the martaba of that person who has good akhlaq and character. That emphasis our deen has placed on akhlaq and character. How many homes we hear this expression that my son has just qualified, he's got his degree now, here he's earning enough money, so now he is ready to get married. Or the girl, the jewelry sets are done. In our community, the term peramri is used. The peramri is ready. So the requirement for marriage is done. She's ready to get married. Ask ourselves, do we consider it a need or a requirement? That have I given her the jewelry of akhlaq and character? Have I given my son the degree of akhlaq and character? Have I taught him to control his anger? Have I taught him to speak sweetly? Have I taught him to consider the feelings of others when he utters anything? Have I taught him what the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with his wives? That poor father, like a precious flower, protects his daughter. He brings her up, and in his heart he has this tamanna and desire. He may have been a poor man. My daughter was brought up in poverty. He gets a proposal from what he thinks is a Sharif family. He gets a proposal from a qualified person. In his heart he is happy now. My daughter will be financially well off. That daughter who he brought up till she became a flower that bloomed, he hands her over with so much of trust and hope in his heart and so much of aspirations. Outwardly, that proposal that came, outwardly it was some doctor, outwardly it was some lawyer, outwardly it was a cultured person, outwardly it was an intellect, outwardly it was an insan, but inside he was a hayawan and an animal. And he crushes this flower, makes her life a living misery on this earth, so that that woman reaches a stage where she wishes that mort was better than life for her. How many incidents we see like this? And conversely also, that beautiful girl, good background, good family, all the material wealth is there. That person thinks, I'm getting a good girl in my home. And the day she enters the house, that is the day the fires are lit in that home. Your mother is saying this, your sister is saying this, what is happening about this, what is happening about that? We're not going to go into the details, there's no time, in fact I'm taking too much of time. But we have to ask ourselves, how much do we even consider it a requirement? Have I given my son or my daughter the jewel or the degree of akhlaq and character? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caught hold of the hand of Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said, Ya Aba Dhar, Ya Aba Dhar, O Abu Dhar, awala adulluka ala amalain khafifin ma'unatuhuma azimin ajruhuma lam talqa Allah bimithlihima. He said, O Abu Zar, should I not show you two actions? Khafifin ma'unatuhuma, very little effort is required. Like we said earlier, we're looking for the shortcut. Easiest way to the highest ranks in Jannah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Abu Zar, there are two things. Effort required for it is very little. Azim in ajruhuma, the reward of which is very great. Lam talqa Allah bimithlihima, no one will meet Allah on the day of judgment with anything greater than these two things. Abu Zar says, Ya Rasulullah, tell me, what are those two things? Look at the reply of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Azimin khafifin ma'unatuma, little effort is required. He said, Abu Zar, as-samt, the first thing is silence. Learn, see the 32 locks, and then there's a main gate in front which Allah has put over that tongue. He said, learn to close that gate. Think before you open that mouth. When poets compare the hearts of human beings, they normally compare the heart with glass. Why? What is the reason for that comparison? Because glass is something when you break it, to piece it together again is impossible. You can never make it again. You can never put it together again like what it was. That is why the heart of insan is compared with glass, and there is nothing that breaks the heart quicker than the utterances of the tongue. That wound, that poison which the tongue will inflict, nothing else will inflict poison like that. It will go right till the cover of that person and beyond that. The hurt of the utterances of the tongue. So he said, Abu Zar, asamt, silence. It is said about Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala that sometimes weeks would pass. Weeks would pass and he wouldn't utter a single word. The prohibition is not of speech. The prohibition is of that speech which is going to hurt someone. That speech which is going to make tor. That speech which the Shariat has prohibited us from. And the second thing he told him, husnul khuluq, good akhlaq and character. So coming back to what we were mentioning earlier, my respected brothers, that on the occasion of the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this ummah was made to understand the importance of there not being ikhtilat and mixing between men and women. We know what mawjuda halat is. We know what the present situation is. Throughout the world, the ummah is suffering. We have been given a prescription which will not only address our problems of akhirat, it will address our problems of dunya also. We have to embrace the Mubarak way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Recently, one of our local ulama in his majlis, he mentioned something which I also want to mention. He said one pious person recently saw a dream in which he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, why is it that the Muslims are suffering the way they are suffering today? Why is it that torment upon torment, persecution upon persecution is being meted out on the ummah in the manner that it is happening? When is it going to stop? When is it going to get less? Allah's Rasulullah told this person that when the level of behayai and shamelessness in my ummah will drop, then only this will stop happening to my ummah. Our actions have an effect, my respected brothers. The more we will move away from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the repercussions of that we will definitely see. So we have to make tawbah. Unfortunately, we have become an ummah. When some incident takes place, we motivate. We go into harkat. We become worried. When it passes, we carry on the way we were carrying on before. Until something else happens, and something else happens. But the sabak and the lesson that we are supposed to be taking, we are not taking. I've said this many, many times. I'm repeating it again. My respected brothers, for Allah's sake, understand that this girlfriend, boyfriend culture that has become the norm, where sometimes even in the name of Islam, boys and girls are sitting together and learning Islam. This boyfriend, girlfriend culture is a poison that is destroying this ummah to such an extent that even after nikah, the door of zina is not closing. Ummul Mumineen Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was asked when earthquakes will happen, when Allah's open azab will come upon the ummah, one of the things she mentioned, she said when zina will take place in this ummah in a manner as if it is not haram. And that will happen, my respected brothers, when ikhtilat and intermingling will take place. So just to complete that incident which we mentioned in the beginning, Adam alayhi salam woke up from his sleep. Hawa alayhi salam was next to him. He stretches his hand out towards her. Allah Ta'ala says that, oh Adam, she is not halal for you. Nikah has to be made. For nikah, mehr has to be given. Jannat was at his disposal, but Jannat didn't belong to him. He didn't have anything. What mehr is he going to give? So Allah Ta'ala says to him, the riwayats differ. In one riwayat comes 8 times, one 12 times, one 20 times. Recite durood and salawat upon Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this will constitute the mehr for the first nikah that led to the existence of the entire humanity on the surface of this earth. So from that time, humanity is indebted to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We being his ummah, to a far greater extent, we have to embrace his Mubarak way of life in every aspect of our lives. Unfortunately, like one of our elders said recently, he says, nowadays person goes to the Mawlid Sahib, Mawlid Sahib, tell me, is this sunnat? And what is the motivation behind his question? Motivation behind his question is that if it is, the Mawlvi Sahib says it is sunnah, then it's okay to leave it out. He says, Sahaba was such that they would avidly look to see what he did with this tamanna and desire that if my Nabi did it, I will give my life, but I won't leave it out. And the Ummah today has become such, if it is sunnah, it's okay to leave it out. So for this reason, for us to learn what the akhlaq of character and the character of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, for us to learn what his deen, what his day, what his night, what his fikr, what his cry was, this is why we are exhorted to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To establish the halqa of ta'lim in our homes, halqa of ta'lim in our masjids, to attach and link ourselves with the amal of masjid, so that through that effort, our lives can come onto deen. May Allah ta'ala give each and every one of us tawfiq.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.